Hello, PMP. Welcome to the weekly planning and coaches Zoom office hours open coaching on your Sunday. Corinne is traveling. I believe she did a race today with her friend Jane. So I am filling in. Hello, everyone. I'm guessing you can hear me okay, which is a good thing. We want to hear. I'm going to give you guys just a second to come on in, and then I'm going to give you just a little bit of a different nuance on my planning that I did this week. I was trying to think, what can I tell you new and different that I haven't told you before? Because you guys know, I've talked a lot about, good, thank you, Kim, talked a lot about how Ken and I plan together, right? We usually do it. Used to be on Friday evenings, but we've kind of gotten away from it. We do it Saturday mornings most of the time now. We just get together and we say, what are we going to eat next week? What do we want to eat? And he will offer what he wants for lunch. And if I want to have what he has, then I'll just jump on that bandwagon. And then we look at our calendar to see what we're doing in the evenings to see if we have time to cook or if we need a easy heat-em-up meal through the evenings. So, for instance, on Wednesday nights, you all know that every other week I do office hours. Ken teaches yoga on Wednesday nights. So Wednesday is always an easy heat-em-up meal for us. So as we did our planning, you know, I scheduled everything out. You can see here's my weekly plan, right? I do it through Thursday. I do it on Saturday. I do Sunday through Thursday. And then on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I just do daily plans because we like to make sure, you know, we're planning, you know, for our date night and things like that. Kim, thank you. My TMJ is not much better. It's still, if you see me pressing on my chin today, my jaw today, it's because I'm trying not to wince. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute though. So anyway, back to our weekly plan. I plan through Thursday and I go ahead and get the groceries on Saturday night. That's our big date night, y'all. We go to church. We go out to eat. We pick up groceries. And so everything is in the house right now for me to food prep for our breakfasts and our lunches and for us to have on hand for dinner, the food to have on hand for dinner through Thursday. So I have it all scheduled out. I even think about what movement I'm going to have for this week. So this week is going to be more gentle movements. You know, I don't want to be trying to do any weight work and, you know, clenching my face since my jaw is bothering me. So it's going to be walking and yoga for me this week. And that honestly is part of my self-care, right? Is thinking ahead to how my body feels so that I know how to wrap care around myself through foods, through exercise, and other things this week. So I wanted to take the weekly planning and talk a little bit about self-care planning as well. Y'all, as moms, as wives, as partners, as mom, I said moms, as all the things that we do for other people, it's super important that we take care of ourselves too. And I'm finding I'm really figuring that out this week, right, as I deal with this TMJ. So I thought I would tell you what my weekly self-care plan is as well and encourage you all to create a weekly self-care plan too. It's setting an intention for yourself, right? Setting an intention to just take a little bit of time to do something nice for you. So today, here's my little sticky note. Today, my self-care for the day is when I'm finished with this call, if I'm tired, I'm going to take a nap. If I'm not tired, I'm going to do my food prep. So I'm going to give myself the grace to know that I'm going to get my food prep done for the week, but I'm also going to rest if I need to rest. Okay? So intentional, right? I've already told Ken I might be taking a nap today. He's like, that's okay. He's got racing to watch, so he's okay with that. Monday, After my 8 o'clock call, I'm calling a physical therapist to see if they have a TMJ specialist, to see if I could get some physical therapy on my jaw, or maybe some acupuncture. I think they do both at the place that's close by here that Ken went to. Something crazy just happened here. Hang on. Let me see if I can get this out of here. Okay. Sorry, trying to figure out what's going on here with my... There we go. All right. Something just popped up. It was really weird. Okay, so that's Monday. Tuesday is Nana Day. So somewhere mid-afternoon, I will go over and I'll watch my my granddaughters while I enjoy them and give their mom a little bit of time to run errands by herself. So that's really, really good disconnect time for me and spending time with the love of those sweet babies and having fun and just enjoying something a little bit different. Wednesday, I get coached. So I don't know if y'all know this, but I have a coach. And I have a weekly call with her, and it's some of the best self-care I do because she helps me like we help you all with whatever is going on in my life and with the work that I want to do, especially my future self work. That's what I've been focusing on a lot lately is future self. I love that concept. So Wednesday I get coached. It's my coaching call. Thursday I have a thing at church that I'm going to go to, early morning church. Friday I take dedicated time for my own personal development. It might be podcasts, it might be books, it might be an online course, it might be something that I do just for me to expand my learning about myself and to expand my learning so that I can, you know, coach better. It could be listening to Corinne coach. It could be listening to, I said podcasts, books, courses, you know, whatever it is that I decide I want to do. Also Friday we have date night. Ken and I have our time where we go and usually sit at the bar at Burger Republic, but it's time where we put our phones away and we just talk. And we have, here's something fun. We have off limit topics. We're not allowed to talk about work. We're not allowed to talk about politics. It used to be, we're not allowed to talk about the kids, but we can talk about them now. You know, anything that is emotional or stressful or, you know, whatever, we just don't talk about. We choose not to talk about. We might plan vacation. We might talk about the sports. We might, you know, talk about family or something like that. But we just have off-limit topics because we want to have connection time that's, you know, just the two of us. And then Saturday, my self-care is my day off. So that is, again, that's time where I rest my brain and I do things for me around the house. I get, y'all know how good it feels to get the house straightened up and get bills paid and to get the laundry started. You know, that feels very productive to me. And that's what I use my Saturdays for. Sometimes I go shopping. So that's what my self-care plan is. And I would really, really encourage you guys to do a self-care plan as well, to set that intention for your week about how you're going to take care of what it is you need so that you can live your best life, so that you can de-stress a little bit. You know, we self-care, how many times have you heard us say self-care isn't all bubble baths and mani-pedis? Sometimes it's, you know, cleaning out a closet that's been bugging you. Sometimes it's taking a walk in the sunshine. The sun's shining here today. Isn't that cool, right? We don't get much sunshine this time of year. So I thought I would share that with you just to get our call kicked off and talk a little bit about weekly planning. It's not just food sometimes. It's not just exercise. It's setting an intention for your week. And for me, my intention for my week is to take care of myself because I really, really want this TMJ to go away. So, all right. Any questions about that? Any questions? Debbie likes the color of my sweater. Why, thank you. That's very nice. Adrian wants to know, do we do the weekly assessment before planning the next week? I would. I usually do it in that order. Yes, Kathy, I'm using a night guard. Thanks. And I should have used it as a proactive measure rather than a reactive measure. How many times have y'all heard me say that? We should always be proactive. I'm learning with my TMJ. I should also be proactive. I'm learning all kinds of things about how to take care of myself through this. Let's see. Yes, Queen's Club is next week. It is next week. We had to swap it out. So it is the 16th, February 16th. I think Kim is on this call. I believe it's at 4 p.m. Central. If that is not correct, somebody please correct me. Jennifer Ann is here from the Eastern Shore. My dad used to live on the Eastern Shore. So let's see. Okay. Yoga this week for Riley too. All right. I don't see any other questions here. So let's get into the coaching. Here's what we need to do. If you want to be coached, you go ahead and raise your hand. I'll do four or five people today. If you have your hand, make sure you want your hand raised. I don't want to call you up on screen and you be like in the potty or, you know, putting your makeup on or something, just listening where you've hit it by accident. So just make sure that your hand is raised, that if your hand is raised, that you mean for it to be. Also, if you don't mind, be somewhere with a good internet and maybe sitting down, definitely not driving. I don't mind the walking around, but some people do. Some people get a little motion sick. So if you're in a place where you can be nice and quiet, you have a nice quiet place with good internet, that's always best. If you're on the call, remember nobody can see you unless you raise your hand and I promote you to panelist. So you're all good. You can always put a question in the Q&A. If you want me to answer it at the end, I will do that. There's one question there. Let me see if it has anything to do with. Let's see. Okay, Jill, I'll get your question at the end because it has to do with hunger scale. If you put your questions in the chat, I probably will not see them because I won't be checking the chat. I'm actually going to turn it off and just focus on the coaching and the Q&A. All right, let's get started. Hope, you are first, then Hellcat. All right, here you come. Are you there? Hope, what happened?
I don't know.
Okay, I can hear you. Is your camera covered up? Because it says the video is going.
It does. It says start video.
Okay, hit that.
But then it says allow Zoom access to your privacy settings. And it must not like that for some reason. Okay, is it okay if I come in on my computer, you do someone else and then get me on the back end? Okay,
let's see. Yeah, that's perfect. Raise your hand again, okay? So I can find you.
Will do. Thank
you.
Bye.
All right, Hellcat. It's up to you. It's all you, girl.
Video.
Hello.
Hi.
How
are you?
I'm okay.
Okay,
great.
Okay. So at the sixth day, mm-hmm. I made a commitment to myself. We committed to do three things. Mm-hmm. One of those was I've been doing the 10-minute TDLs.
Ooh.
And
that's a good one.
It is a good one. And also, I've been doing the reframe beliefs. And then I promised myself to at least take one of those to ask coaches and or jump on a coaching call because I don't typically do that. So that's why I'm here.
Okay.
What I'd like to get coached on is something that came up at the sixth day when we were doing the exercise on dealing with other people's opinions.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I love the graphic that we got, that, you know, you take someone's opinion, did you hear them say it, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And so I walk through that and I kind of walk through it too with my mentee group. Mm-hmm. And I just, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, there is a part of me that says, but if somebody is wrong, they need to be proven that they're wrong. I don't know if it's because I'm a lawyer or I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just feel like if somebody's wrong, and not all the time, but I feel like I need to tell them, well, you're wrong, and I need you to admit you're wrong. And they were laughing at me because at one point I was like, someone needs to pay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What's the problem with them being wrong?
We all, I know I'm wrong sometimes and we all get to be wrong, but sometimes when people say things, either it may not even be personally related, I need them to know they're wrong.
Why? What does it matter?
Because I feel like they're getting a pass.
Okay. What if they are?
I feel like they're getting a pass if I just say, well, they're wrong about that, but I'm not going to say anything about it.
So what's wrong with them getting a pass? Why can't they just be wrong and just be wrong in the universe and move on? Tell me what the big problem with that is.
It feels wrong. It feels like a lack of justice. It feels like sometimes I just can't let it go. I mean, now mind you, since joining PMP, I've gotten a lot better at letting a lot of things go because I learned it's not worth, the end result is usually strife and drama and, nothing ever really good comes of it. So there are many, many times I let things go, but there are certain things like it'll still be just coming up in my mind that I can't believe that person said that about me, or I can't believe that person said that to me. And I want to sit them down and say,
give me an example of something someone said about you or to you.
Someone told me that I was not an empath.
You're not an empath?
Right.
Okay.
But I'm not empathetic.
All right. And your thought about that is?
They are dead F wrong. That was my thought about it. Yeah.
Okay. And the feeling?
Anger.
Anger. Mm-hmm. And the action?
I want to tell them that they're wrong.
Tell them. In a nice way, I'm sure, right? Not in a Hellcat way.
Hellcat has a nice streak. Tell them that they're wrong. And then I want to convince them that they're wrong. Oh, I know where this is headed. Yes.
Don't
I want to convince
love that. If you know the model well enough,
yeah,
you know, when you're doing your actions, you're like, shit.
I know. I'm like, oh, Kathy gets me again.
Convince them they're wrong.
Right. I want to present my case of how wrong they are and convince them that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And I want them to see that they're wrong and admit that they're wrong.
Okay. Well, that can't be in your model.
No.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
That's up to them.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You can browbeat the hell out of them until they do.
Right.
But they're going to choose whether they admit they're wrong or not, but you're just going to keep on going. Right. Yeah. Until they admit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the result here?
Oh, I'm distracted. It doesn't feel good. Because usually they're not going to change their opinion, at least not to me. They're not going to admit to me.
No, they don't have to. They might, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we really want to make this, I mean, sure, you don't handle it in the way that
ultimately you would want to handle it is the result.
We
could say that you handled it and you might be wrong in the way you handle it.
That's the result, is that I'm wrong in handling it. Oh,
right. Okay. And how you handle.
Right.
I'm not going to say that you are or you aren't, but I think ultimately if it gets down to you're convincing and you're presenting and you just keep going, I think you probably have that thought in the back of your mind that this really isn't the person I want to be. Right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, I think they said it out of anger. I don't think they really believe that.
Why does it matter?
I feel very strongly about that.
Okay. So if I say, Lori, really, girl, an empath, come on. Do you feel any less strongly that you're an empath?
No.
No, I don't at all. It doesn't affect. If you are convicted and you are strong in your belief, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Some people think being empathic is just a bunch of hooey, and some people think it like it's totally 100% a thing.
And then I think back the way she said it, was, well, I'm an empath and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that it carried a little bit of a, I don't know what the word is. Maybe it carried a little bit of a, like,
no, that's how you heard it. It didn't carry. Yeah. All it was okay. Out of her mouth.
Okay. That's true. Right? That's true.
You interpreted it with a thought that you had about it. Right?
Well, she was mad at, she was mad at me.
Yeah. That's probably happened before, right? People get mad at you now and then.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I guess that's just part of life.
Yeah.
And it's part of having relationships with people.
Exactly. In fact, I would offer that having a very open and honest relationship with someone allows anger and allows disappointment, just like it allows, gratitude and love and all the things on the positive side. A good, healthy relationship doesn't just stay in the middle all the time. If it's, always neutral, where's the emotion? Where's, there's no offsetting anything, good or bad.
And this was, when I looked at it in terms of the graphic that we were given, I did hear her say it. Is her opinion valuable to you? Not really. I mean,
And what does it say? What does it say on the note?
It says, are you kidding? Delete.
Right.
So it's like, okay. But then it's like, I didn't want to let it go. So I was like, well, could it be from love? No.
And that's
wasn't helpful.
The whole thing is, why didn't you want to let it go? That's where your work is. Why does it matter? Why does her opinion about whether or not you're an empath matter in the world?
I'm not sure that it does. Other than,
So that's,
I think I keep telling myself it doesn't matter. And by saying it doesn't matter, I'm like, it doesn't matter to me, but from a sense of justice, this sounds ridiculous, I know, but it's like from a sense of justice, I need her to know that she's wrong and I need to admit that she's wrong, but it doesn't matter.
Validate? Do you need her to validate that you're an empath?
That's probably what's going on. Yeah.
Why do you need validation?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's something I'm working on a lot lately. So I think you're right. I think that's,
I think that's what the core of this probably is.
I think
so. Yeah. So it wouldn't matter if she said, I'm not an empath. If your thought was, she's just wrong. I am. She's just wrong.
If I was confident enough in my, or just cared enough about my, my skill at empathy. It shouldn't matter one bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if your thought was she's wrong and that fueled confidence rather than anger, then your action is let it go.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Delete it.
Delete, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Delete. And the result is you handled it just right. Because what this model means is that you allowed her to have her opinion and you were validated enough in your thought about yourself that you had confidence in letting her have her opinion.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. And I can use this for other incidences where people have said things.
Insert your pain point here.
Yeah. It's like anytime, you know, if somebody says something that you're like, that is so not what is going on inside my head, like at all in whatever our interaction was. And, you know, I think it just goes back to what's really been helpful in some instances is just to say, well, they don't really know me.
Yeah.
They just don't really know me.
Yeah.
So then but where I need to stop it is saying, well, I need to prove to them who I am. No, I don't.
You can prove to them who you are just by being the person you are. You don't have to argue for the person you are.
Okay. Right? I'm not on trial. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe that's the conditioning of the lawyer in you. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. What matters is that if you have full faith and confidence in the person you are and you like the person you are, then what is it Brooke says? She has a whole podcast on other people's opinions, a life coach school. And she says, she talks about herself. She says, I'm a peach, but not everybody likes peaches. And that's okay. Does that help?
Yes, very much.
Right.
Thank you.
You got anything else?
I think that's all.
All right. Good to see you.
Okay, we'll see you. All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Hope, you're back. And then we have Shannon.
Hello. Oh, goodness. I hope it works this time.
All right. I just sent you. Oh, yeah, there you are.
Right. Awesome.
All right. Let me erase Hellcat's model here. We'll leave this up just in case.
I haven't showered today, but I just topped down on a whim. So sorry, everyone.
You look fabulous.
Kathy. So yes. You may not recognize me because I look like this, but do you remember I'm not promotable? That's me. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Guess what?
You got a promotion, of course. Uh-huh.
I did. It's
because of that great coaching you got that day, I'm sure.
Best coaching ever. I feel like, you know how you're getting some kind of certificate or something right now, right?
Oh, I am.
Right. So I think you need to submit that as proof of your amazingness because you dug so deep with me that day.
Write me up one, girl. I'll submit it to somebody.
That was so good. I ended up getting promoted to my national association, and it's everything I ever wanted.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations. And I was, every day when I went into my job, I said, I belong here, and it totally helped.
You know, sometimes just practicing a new thought over and over solidifies it in your mind. I have, I was telling one of my private clients, I have, you know, those big flip charts with the post-it note strip at the top. Well, I have one of those pads here and I wrote down in big letters, affirmations. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Probably a year ago, maybe more, that hang on the closet door right over my computer screen. And I was looking at them the other day and I thought, I believe all those now. It's time to write some more.
Oh, wow.
I look at them every day and I read them every day. You know, I scan them every day and I think, you know what? Those are all good. It's time for some more. So I actually got my pad out yesterday and I'm trying to decide what I'm going to put on it so that I can create some more new thoughts to think and practice every day.
Mm, that's
so I love that. I belong here. is perfect.
I belong here is a good one.
Yeah.
So today, honestly, Kathy, I'm not exactly sure why I'm here because I have not listened to PNP coaching calls in quite some time. I might say maybe December I started to.
Okay.
I'm sure during the holidays, not do that. And I can see myself slipping in the four basics. Mm-hmm. And I see it happening in all areas, you know, in the four basics. And in, I used to just listen, you know, all day in the car in the morning while I got ready. And now I'm not. So really today I said, get on. And then I said, get coached. So why? I think I just, my, one of my accountability partners is on here and she said, oh my gosh, you're getting coached. And I said, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to coach on, but I need to coach on something. And she said, how about your lack of motivation for PNP? And I said, okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel less motivated for it or I'm slipping. And
so what's distracting you? I'm going to give you a hint. It's a thought. So if we put little to no PMP work in the C line, there's a thought. Is it, you know, how far are you from goal?
Roughly 40, 41 pounds.
And how much have you lost?
27.
Okay. So is 27 enough? You good with where you are?
I'm good with how much I've lost thus far, but no, I would like to lose the 41 more. I expect to.
Okay. Do you expect to do it by not listening and not planning and all the things?
No, no, no.
You think it's going to like poof, fairy dust?
I know.
No. So why do you think you dropped off?
Can you chop that lace, please? I don't know.
If you had to guess, if you had to just take a wild guess, stab in the dark.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is just that initial excitement is gone.
Okay. When did you start?
September.
Okay. Excitement is gone. And I'm going to call this PNP daily work because that's what we're talking about basically, right?
Yeah, it's everything. It's not just one certain thing.
So when you say, well, the excitement is gone, how do you feel?
Neutral.
Is it an absence of feeling? How about apathy?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And when you feel neutral or apathetic, what do you do or not do?
You don't do all the things you were doing. So you grab ass. I noticed the grab assing. Mm-hmm. I never used to grab ass ever. I mean, mm-hmm. at least for three or four months, I didn't do that. And now I notice, you know, when I'm cooking or, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. a little here and there. So grab assing, maybe not getting all the water. I mean, even not making, I didn't make a plan one day this week and that never happens. Not following my plan. I have like 4 days this week that I did not follow a plan. That never happens. Eating. I mean, I ate pasta two last night. I'm not saying it never happens, but last night I had a margarita with my dinner and completely forgot that it wasn't on my plan. Like that was very odd to me. I went to dinner and I had Good, Better, Best because we were at a volleyball tournament all day. So when they wanted to go to Mexican, I said, sure. In my head, I said, sure, I have Good, Better, Best on my plan. I can do that. But then when I sat down and I ate, I had ordered a margarita. Well, that's, to me, that would not be something I would do, right? I would have to have a drink on my plan. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I forgot, which made me think, well, geez, it's like you're not even invested right now.
And I think that's the key. You're not invested right now. You've lost your intentionality.
Yes.
Your weight loss. I am, y'all know, I am huge on setting an intention at the beginning of the day, at the beginning of the week, for a coaching call, whatever it is. I decide ahead of time how I'm going to show up. All right. That's just at work. You know, you probably do that for work, right? You walk into work going, I belong here. That's setting an intention.
Right.
Right. So you're not doing that. You've lost intentionality in your weight loss. That is leading to all these other things. That's why the excitement is gone, because you're not paying attention to it. You're not setting your intention. You're not doing the things. You might be making a plan 6 days out of the week, but you're not making one with intention.
Yes.
Right? You're just writing something down. Good, better, best. Just writing something down.
Right. And I think had I had intention, I would have thought through that a little bit more.
Right.
You know, what is a whole day, like 12 hours at a volleyball tournament going to look like? Might you have a drink? I think I used to be more intentional about thinking things through. So the realistic plan was realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So the result of all this is the weight loss is gone too.
Correct.
Okay. So I wanted you just to see this. I want you to see the model just because I love how the model actually just takes a really great picture of what happens when we think a thought. And for you, the excitement is gone is the thought that's creating this whole model for you. So I would ask you, why does weight loss have to be exciting?
You just sounded like Corinne.
Yeah. I might have learned that question from her.
Well, it does not have to be.
Right?
It doesn't have to be exciting at all.
No, it just has to be. What does weight, if you had to describe what weight loss has to be?
Intentional.
Well, look at that. But what else does it have to be?
I mean, the word realistic is coming to my mind.
Yeah. Realistic. I would call that doable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. Right?
And this is doable. There's nothing about this program that's not doable.
Right.
And that's why I think I keep saying to myself, like, this was so easy, doable. Before, like, why are you slipping? What is changing? Like, why does it suddenly in your mind are you going, this is hard?
It's still easy. And right. It's still doable. You've just dropped this part, this intentional part.
Okay.
Okay. So how do you create intentionality? You're like all laid back going, yep, not doing the things. You're right, Kathy. Not intentional. I don't know why it's hard.
I'm assuming you get intentional by just getting intentional. Like, I think that's what I would tell someone else. I would say, just do it. Write your intentions for the day and do them. I don't think you can think your way out of it. I think you just do it.
Pretty much. Motivation is built on action.
Motivation is built on action.
Motivation is not something you dredge up with a thought. I can do this doesn't create motivation.
It doesn't.
I can do this creates determination or perseverance. But motivation is like it's like a snowball. Right? You have out, right? I don't know where you are in the world, but we had snow this week in Nashville, which doesn't happen very often. Snowballs, you know, the more you roll it, the more you work it, the bigger it gets. That's how motivation works. So when it doesn't feel easy or when it doesn't feel fun or exciting anymore, you just keep showing up anyway. Because in those moments that you just keep showing up, you're building your motivation.
Okay.
Because you demonstrate to yourself that it is easy. By just keeping showing up. That's when, on those days, that's when you make sure your plans are good and realistic. So you're showing that you can keep your commitment to yourself.
Right. Okay. I think that's important. I really think that's a big underpinning of this program is that you have to prove to yourself you're showing up even if your plan is super realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can tell you my weekend plans don't look like my weekday plans.
Right.
Okay. Because we do Friday night date night. We do Saturday night date night. We eat out both nights. So they don't look the same as, you know, my eating at home. But I'm okay with that because that's the choice I want to make I've erased them, to make it intentional, doable, easy, and realistic, to make keeping my weight off, to make, you know, my weight fluctuates just like everybody else's, up a few pounds, down a few pounds. So as long as I'm intentional and I'm paying attention to what I'm eating, I'm keeping my commitment to myself. I have my own back.
Right.
In all ways.
Okay.
Does that help?
I think it does. Yes.
So what are you going to do? Go ahead and commit to all the people on the call here. And your accountability partner who's here, you said, right?
Hi, Katie. Love you.
What's the next step for you?
So I think the next step is to write down maybe a list of all the things that I need to be intentional about and look at them every day and try to show up and do them every day.
So I would offer not need to be intentional, want to be intentional.
Okay.
It sounds hard to me. Well, I'm going to need to fold all those clothes downstairs. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I just want to fold the clothes because that feels good and they'll fit in my drawers rather mm-hmm. than I have a chore to do. See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So if you write down some things that you want to be intentional about, that's fine. That's passive action. That's planning. How do you move that into massive action, which is actually doing the things? What's the next step?
Doing them.
Maybe you pick one at a time and layer it in. Right? Because if you come up with a list of 47 things you want to be intentional about, you're going to go, oh no, that's too much. But if you have, you know, if you pick that one thing, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do my plan and I'm going to follow it. So I'm going to make it super duper realistic because I'm back in the game.
I think when you say that, what I've been struggling with is when you're so on plan, you're so P&P, you're doing all the things right for the 3 or 4 months, and then you start to slip. It's almost like you had all those 1% level ups. So you were over here and then you're back here. So your 1% level ups, and they've been back in September again. Does that make sense? Like I'm back in September leveling up things I leveled up.
So what's wrong with that?
I don't know. I guess there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's called meeting yourself where you are.
And I guess I didn't realize that would fluctuate.
Yeah, absolutely.
This program.
It can. It doesn't always, but it can. And it's okay that it does, because if you don't meet yourself where you are, you're going to set your intention too high. Let's say, all right, I'm back at it. Chicken and broccoli for the next week. Is that realistic? No. Even if you were chicken and broccoli in September, it's not realistic for you now. And in order to maintain your commitment to yourself, it has to be something that you can commit to realistically, that's doable for you. Okay? So you're going to have these fluctuations in these periods in your life where maybe work becomes super important and your weight loss, you know, is important, but it's not at the forefront. So you have to plan realistically for that time, like vacations.
Right.
Right. You know, you might plan on vacation to maintain your weight rather than lose your weight. Or, you know, if you're going to party heaven or whatever, you might plan to gain a couple of pounds and be okay with that. It's all about how you set the intention and decide what you're going to do with that time. All right. So for you getting back in the game, I start just where you are and level up, find your baseline where you are right now and level up that 1%, pick that one thing that you can do or two, whatever you think is realistic for you. Maybe it's water and a plan. Maybe right. it's sleep and a plan. You know, maybe it's, I'm just going to eat when I'm hungry this week, you know, or something like that. That yeah. starts that snowball rolling again, starts your motivation rolling again.
Okay, I will do that.
Does that make sense?
It does. It helps. Thank you so much.
Well, so was that as good a coaching as the...
yes. Well, the other I think I was deeper in hell with the other one, so it was mm-hmm. a little harder. I mean, it took us like 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. That was a good one.
I mean, it was, I was like, no, no, that's no. And you just kept working me, but that one was amazing. But yes, I just don't think I was in as deep in a hole. I caught myself quicker this time.
Well, and that's exactly what you should do. And so everybody out there who has this kind of, this, you know, kind of lull in the action, you get on a coaching call, or you get to ask coaches, or, you know, you have your accountability partner give you a kick in the butt, whatever it takes to move that back into where you want it to be. So I think it's awesome that you got on a call today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. DB Clark 64. Let's see who we got here. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Tell me your name.
Debbie Clark.
Debbie. It's nice to meet you, Debbie.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. I really just wanted to, don't really have a question. I wanted to say that I had gotten to that point in the diet where I wasn't as enthusiastic and the scale wasn't going anywhere. And I went on vacation and I came back, and through the holidays, I ended up gaining 10 pounds. But I have totally recommitted with this don't stop, believe in race.
Oh, good.
And I, for some reason, it just hit me right where I needed it. Mm-hmm. And I am doing the 10K. I'm walking, mm-hmm. but I've done 2 weeks of training so far, and I've kicked it both 2 weeks.
Nice.
So I just wanted to say, you know, find something that you can get passionate about and you'll get your mojo back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Are you coming to Nashville?
No.
No, you're doing it virtually? Okay.
Yeah. I'm doing it virtually here in Indianapolis. So, but
oh,
I
well,
just
you have plenty of great places in Indy to walk. Yeah.
Yeah. We do. And there's several girls here in Indy. We have a get together at the end of the month and there are several girls doing it. So I'm going to hook up with some people then. So,
I think that's awesome. Sometimes it takes, you know, like I was telling Hope, sometimes it takes getting on a coaching call. Sometimes it takes a new goal. Sometimes it takes a tweak in your compelling reason. You know, it just depends on what it takes to get you to recommit and to get you to refocus back in on what it is you really want. So I think it's awesome that DSB has done that for you. That's good.
Thank you very much. I love
You're
you guys.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Love the tribe.
That's all you've got?
That's all I've got.
All right. Well, thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was nice. Shannon, you're up.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
All right. So, I would like to be coached about, I think there's really two things, but they kind of, to me, my head tied together. Like one is about binge eating, mm-hmm. and the other is, eating when my daughter is with her dad.
Okay.
That's usually when I feel like the binging happens.
Okay.
And part of it, I'm not sure, like I've been having my, I'm looking at my notes. My thought that my power thought has been, I keep commitments to myself, mm-hmm. but I'm not keeping commitments to myself. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if part of it is, it's the thought, like it is the thought, right?
That's so let's look at why you're binging.
Okay, let's do.
Okay. So are these related? Does the binge, do the binge and the,
yes.
the daughter with the dad related? Okay.
Yes. And I did a discovery worksheet last time. Mm-hmm. And then like last night I went off plan and overate, but I wouldn't consider it a binge necessarily, but I did go off plan and eat.
Okay. So we'll put binge, overeat, mm-hmm. and eat off plan.
Yes.
In the action line. Because it could be any of those things, right?
Yes. Yep.
That okay. So what's the rest of the model?
So the thoughts, the current thoughts I think in my head are, gosh, I'm probably going to cry.
It's okay.
That the eating is going to make me feel better.
Are you feeling bad when your daughter's like, with her dad?
Yeah. What? Say that again.
Are you feeling bad when your daughter is with her dad? What are you feeling?
I don't necessarily feel bad, but I miss her.
Okay.
And yeah, I think maybe I do feel bad.
Why do you feel bad?
Sad. I miss her. Like,
describe the feeling to me.
Yeah.
Just talk about this missing her and sad and just describe that for me.
Yeah, it's like, and it's, I think sometimes too, it's like, I miss her, but I'm doing other things. It's usually work. But, I think sometimes I feel, I don't know, it's like I miss her, but I'm still glad to have my own time. Maybe
talk about missing her. Talk about missing her.
I don't know what to say about it.
Like, yeah, this is why you're binging.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're not letting yourself just be still and miss her and be sad she's not home.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is there, I mean, are you, when she's with her dad,
yes,
is she safe?
Yeah. Well, I think so, mostly.
Is she happy?
Yes.
So why are you sad when she is with him?
Because I want her to be with me.
Okay. So it really is just missing her. There's nothing else.
It's just
lonely, just loneliness, basically, missing her.
Yeah. Okay. I guess sometimes I do worry a little bit that she's safe. He drinks. Mm-hmm. So I do worry about that a little bit.
Okay. So we'll put that on the action line.
Okay.
All right. So... when you are missing her,
yes,
I want you to think about, is she home? Is she home this weekend?
She's with
him right now. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So when you are missing her, okay, tell me what's going on in your body. You cry, right?
Yes. I don't cry. Like, I'm crying now talking to you. I don't cry when I think about missing her.
How does your, When you're missing her and when you're, you know, worrying and how does all that feel in your body? How does your head feel? How does your throat feel? How does your stomach feel?
Like right now my throat feels like constricted almost, but I feel it usually like in my heart, like it feels tight.
How's your stomach?
I don't feel anything in my stomach really. And my shoulders, I feel it. My shoulders like tense, just really tense. And like, I keep hunching and I have to like,
Your posture is kind of hunched,
like clenched.
You said your hands are clenched.
It's more my shoulders still. Like they come in.
Okay. Yeah. How about your head? Is it okay?
Yeah, I mean, my head doesn't, well, it hurts right now, I think, from crying, but it doesn't normally hurt or anything. I don't think I normally notice anything.
Okay. So a feeling, this line here, this feelings line, is actually the physical part of a thought, right? So you have a thought, which is a sentence in your mind that appears physically in your body. Deepak, you know, that meditation guru, Deepak Chopra. He says a feeling is a biological response to a thought.
Yes.
So what you have described is this feeling of missing her.
Yes.
Okay. If you allow yourself to feel that feeling to its completion, you don't need to eat.
Okay.
what you're doing is you're not feeling, you're saying, oh my gosh, I miss her. I miss her so much. And you're eating to relieve yourself from feeling the feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yep. Right? Yes, that is.
So if I were to tell you what you're feeling right now through your shoulders,
yeah,
your heart, your throat, the crying, if that's as bad as it's going to get, then is that tolerable?
Yes.
Yeah. It is, right?
Yeah.
So when you miss her,
yes,
because she's with her dad, what's the thought?
Like the current thought?
Mm-hmm. Sure. What's the thought line in this model?
I'm looking to see if I wrote anything. I don't know what the thought is.
Said earlier, I just want her with me.
Yeah.
Is that why, you know, if I were to ask you, why are you missing her? What would the answer be?
I don't think that's it, because I don't know if that's 100% true. Like, I do want her with me, but like I said, I do enjoy having some time. So
why are you missing her?
Well, because I love her. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is.
Take a wild guess. Just take a guess.
A wild guess.
Wild guess.
And it's not just because I love her and I want her to be with me.
It could be.
Yeah.
We'll use that. Okay. I just love her.
Yeah.
And want her with me. Whoops. With me. Okay, so what if this is the thought? I just love her and want her with me.
Yeah.
Is that a terrible thought? Is that something that you need to hide from? Or is that something that's okay to feel?
Yeah, it's
because she's my daughter and I love her.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? So I would encourage you as you think about this thought and you feel this feeling, to ask yourself, is it okay? If it's okay for me to feel this right now and to think this, yes, then I really don't need to eat. I don't need relief from it, because it's okay to think it and feel it. And she's coming home in a little while.
Right. She will be home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that sound doable?
Yes, it does. Because it is like with the binging and the eating, it's almost like, it feels almost like pressure. Like it's almost like pressure has built up and like I have to eat. And it's not just eat. It's like eat a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And that's the thing, is like I don't know what the or is, because I have always given into it eventually. Like it seems like, you know, I can sometimes go like 2, 3, even like 4 weeks, but so obviously that's not true, because I mean, nothing's going to happen. It's just, I'm going to, I guess, keep having the urge maybe.
Yeah. Your brain is very habit oriented. That primal brain is very habit oriented and it's going to say, what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Keely.
Keely's not home. We should eat. Woohoo. Right. Party time. Right.
Right. Yes.
Oh, and if you don't respond, maybe we should miss her a little bit too. Maybe that'll make you respond.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But then when you open up the conversation in your head to that logical part of your brain that says, you know, it's okay for me to miss her. In fact, this is what happens.
Right.
You know, she's with her dad. It's okay for me to miss her. And she's coming home.
Right.
Then you start to have a conversation in your head about it. Will you always end that conversation without a binge? Maybe not.
Uh-huh.
But at least opening the conversation and allowing yourself to feel what you just described to me to its completion is going to be a step forward for you. Now, I want you to look at yourself right now.
Yeah.
Your posture's better.
Yeah.
You stopped crying. Your shoulders are down.
Yes.
And we haven't stopped talking about this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because what's happened is that feeling is kind of easing out now. It's you're by allowing the feeling to play all the way out, you have released it and relieved it without eating.
Yep. Yes, that is true.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Yes. Right. You're right.
Wow.
Crazy. Yes. Okay. So when this happens again, I can talk myself through it, just kind of how you just did, but I'm talking myself through it.
Yeah. What you need to do, there's a difference between allowing the feeling to be there.
Yes.
Being okay with feeling these things, the tight throat, heart, shoulders, posture.
Yeah.
Okay. And just sitting with it and letting it be there and saying, it's okay that I miss her right now.
Okay.
All right. It's okay because I love her.
Yeah.
It's okay that I miss her right now. Uh-huh. And eventually the feeling passes. I coached somebody through grief not too long ago. Her name was Kendra. I'll never forget it. Because she was talking about, I believe it was her mother she had lost. Mm-hmm. And she was just crying and crying and crying. And we talked long enough to where she stopped crying.
Yeah.
And I said, do you see what just happened? And she said, no, what are you talking about? I said, you've stopped crying. Yeah. That means the grief is starting to ease off. Mm-hmm. Will it come back? Yes.
Right.
But when you recognize it as just a set of biological things happening in your body, uh-huh. and you realize this is as bad as it's going to get,
yes.
then you don't need relief from it. It's okay. It's actually something we are gifted as human beings to be able to feel.
Yeah.
We don't try and eat away happy or grateful.
It's right? true. Yep.
And those are feelings we feel in our bodies also.
Uh-huh.
Does that help?
Yes, that helps so much.
Good.
It helps a lot.
I'm glad.
Do you think I need to change the thought? Like when I write my thought every day, mm-hmm. that I'm working on believing, I mm-hmm. keep commitments to myself. Like, do I, because I did change it today. I said, I'm working on keeping mm-hmm. or something.
And so what did you say? I'm working on what?
Keeping commitments to myself. So what I had been writing was, I keep commitments to myself.
Okay.
And I haven't been because I don't have a plan. So do I need to say, because it's like, it's not believable, basically. So it's like, do I need a ladder thought in there?
I would. I definitely would. So how would you ladder that?
I was thinking I'm working on it.
I'm working on what? Uh-huh.
Keeping commitments to myself or practicing. I don't know if the writer is working or practicing because I don't want it to be trying because it's either like I'm either doing it or I'm not.
What are we talking about here?
When I say keeping the commitments.
Mm-hmm. Is that your plan? Is that your, what commitment are we talking about?
It's my plan. Following the plan. Yes.
So the C line.
Yep.
Do you see how I got that? Yep. You had the thought. I said, what are you thinking about? That's the C line, right?
Yep.
Okay. So when you say I'm working on keeping commitments to myself.
Yes.
What is the feeling?
The feeling that I feel then is I don't know, it feels more, it's not confident, but it's like the step behind before confident. Like I don't need I don't even know what the feeling. It's I don't need confidence, I just need commitment. Mm-hmm. So
do you know about wordhippo.com? Our new favorite website at PMP.
Like the feeling wheel, but
it's very similar to that. So if we go to wordhippo.com, it gives us all the synonyms we want for things. So we want to find another word for confident.
Right.
And I'm just going to read off.
Okay.
Oops. what it says here. Optimistic, hopeful, sanguine, sure, certain, positive, convinced, doubtless.
I think it's optimistic.
Optimistic.
Yep, it's optimistic.
And when you feel optimistic, what do you do?
I think the actions are more, I do follow my plan. And when I think about going off of it, it's just reminding myself, like, I do keep commitments to myself.
Anything else?
Maybe more like coaching myself, which I guess is, that's the reminding myself. It's coaching myself through that.
Coaching. I love that.
Yeah.
And the result here is you begin to form new commitments. Yeah. So the important thing I want everyone to see here in this model is that we don't go straight to I'm committed, right? Because it's a ladder thought. We want a ladder result. So we're beginning to consider new commitments or beginning to form new commitments or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense.
So that model feels doable, doesn't it?
Yes, that feels so doable because that's not quite, I wasn't doing the laddering. And so this feels really good.
You can also use this model when you're thinking about eating when you're.
Yes, that's what I was. I feel like they do tie in. So yeah, this is so helpful. Thank you, Kathy. Good.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well,
I'm glad you raised your hand. Good call.
Too. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's do one more. This girl's jaw's kind of sore. So who we got here? Katie, I thought you were here. Katie? If you want to come back, raise your hand. All right, let's do some Q&A. Katie wants to come back. We'll take her back in up. All right. I'm working on the 2-2 and finding that I'm eating very little. I add food into an app for tracking on the go, and the app is telling me and alerting me that I'm eating too little at less than 900 calories. So that should I just stay the course and undereat? Jill, for now, I would. Your body will self-regulate. If you're not feeding it enough, it's going to throw hunger at you. If you are feeding it just enough, it might be actually tapping into your fat stores, which is exactly what you want it to do, right? So as long as you are eating 2-2, you're not going past your -2, getting too hungry, I would just stay the course. Make sure you're eating foods that feel good in your body and just keep on rolling. I just found out for health reasons I need to go low carb. I'm afraid that restricting carbs will throw me back into the old diet cycle and patterns. Are there any groups within PMP for support on that? Yes, actually, there is a subgroup in the Facebook for special diets, and there are several girls in there who are low carb or gluten-free or whatever for health reasons. So I would go in there and I would talk to those folks. In fact, the mentor in that group is a very good friend of mine. Her name is Jody. She was actually my very first accountability partner, and she's amazing. And she is at least gluten-free. She may be low carb as well. And I know that they can help you over there. So if you don't know where how to get to the special diets group, go to pmptribe.com and under community, there's a drop down for the Facebook, and on the page that says, I think it says Facebook groups or Facebook community, there's a list of the special subgroups that we have in PMP. Let's see. I am an April baby and started PMP like a pro, lost 15 pounds, then in June stopped. I continue to listen to podcasts. My question is, I think I will start from the beginning with the training like I'm new to the program. Is this a good idea? It's a perfect idea. In fact, go all the way back to orientation. and start there. So if you go to pmptribe.com, that homepage has a three-step process for all the newbies. Step one is orientation. The reason I tell you to go back there, Debbie, is because there's a great video there on commitment. I love it. It's probably one of my favorite videos that Corinne has ever done on how to be committed to yourself. Then step two takes you through the planner course. You know, PMP has the planner. You can print the pages yourself or you can order one online, whichever suits you. The planner is amazing when it comes to documenting what you're eating and your weight loss and what you're thinking and what you need to level up. And then step three is to start the No BS again. I would absolutely do that. I think it's a great idea. So go for it. Shannon says, I weighed myself on Friday, gained about 3 pounds. However, I knew I was holding water and swollen, weighed again on Saturday, and had only gained 0.6 from last week. Then this morning, I weighed again and was back to what I weighed last week. I have so many crappy thoughts about this. Even though I know I'm making some changes and collecting data, I just can't get over not seeing any weight loss yet. How do I get over this? I did fill out the Hello Scale worksheet today. My belief was I'm not doing enough. So one of these pages, I think it's the weekly plan, has my 1% level ups this week will be at the bottom. So Shannon, that's what I would tell you to do. Now that you've assessed last week, it's time to plan this coming week, the next 7 days. Fill out that weekly plan sheet as completely as you can, but think about what you learned from last week and what you can level up just a little bit this week. It might be a little more water. It might be more vegetables with your meals. It might be, taking a 10-minute walk every day. Find one or two areas, that's all, for it to level up, and then go to work on those things. Okay? I am 14 pounds from goal weight, but for my height, this weight is still overweight for my height. So technically, I would like to lose more, but I'm not sure that I'll be able to do it because I've never been below this particular weight. Should I just go for it? Here's what I would do. Here's what I did. I lost weight in the way I wanted to live my life. I did not eat chicken and broccoli every day. I have French fries once every couple of weeks. I eat cheesecake on my birthday. I'm going to eat those things. I'm going to live my life that way. So what I did was I worked my hunger scale. I created my own food plan. I decided when I was going to eat my date night foods. And I let my weight land where it landed. So that's what I would suggest to you. You can have a goal in mind, but if you lose your 14 pounds, and you're living in such a way where you lose a few more, and you're happy living that way, then that's fine. But if you're not, that's okay too. All these charts, these BMI charts, these weight charts, and all, that's just somebody's opinion. They don't know you, your life, your plan, and your body, and how you want to live life. So I would go into it with the attitude that I know myself the best. I know how I want to live my life. I know my 2 to 2. So I'm going to let my weight land where I want it to be. Does that make sense? All right. How do you create intentionality? I talked about that. Can you explain ladder thoughts? Sure. So I believe it's in phase 2 of the No BS. I don't think she calls it ladder thoughts. Let me look this up real quick. What you're doing is creating space between your unintentional thought, which is the one that you have right now, and the super duper pie in the sky intentional thought, the one that you want to work toward. So you might create a thought in between or two thoughts in between that help you ladder up, for lack of a better term, help you work your way into the intentional thought. So module 9, unit 3 is called A New Perspective, Trying on New Thoughts. That's where I'd look about how to create just a thought that's a little bit better than another one that's a little bit better. You might use phrases like, I'm open to believing. Let's say your unintentional thought is, the ones you're thinking right now that you want to change is, I'll never lose this weight. Right. And your intentional thought is, I'm going to be at goal weight someday, but you don't really believe that one. Right. So you might want to create a thought in between that says, I'm open to believing I'm going to be at goal weight someday. Or I'm working on believing I'm going to be at goal weight someday. It seems much more doable in the moment. I stop eating at my plus two, but when I drink something after the meal, I'm pushed beyond my plus two. How do you handle that? Wait 1 hour to, yeah, I just wait a little bit before drinking anything or back off a little bit on what you're eating, either way. Is it okay to drink water past a full feeling? Depends on where you're starting. I'm going to refer back to the previous question. If you eat to plus two and you know you still have a bunch of water to drink, you know, maybe you should eat to plus one and a half and see how you feel and then add some on later on. Just kind of play with it, figure it out. Jen says, I've had weight loss surgery. I often reach plus two quickly, but am at minus two again within 2 hours. Is it okay to split meals in half and eat them when at minus two? Yeah, absolutely. You can absolutely do that. Sure. In fact, I have a private client right now who she'll pull out her lunch and she'll eat until she's at plus two. And then she puts the rest of it in the fridge. And if she needs a snack, that's what she pulls out. So she calls her afternoon snack lunch bites. Sometimes she eats it, sometimes she doesn't, but she, you know, she calls it, it's basically leftover lunch. So yeah, that's absolutely fine to do. Let's see, I'm headed out this week on a much anticipated girls' weekend with some of my best friends. Any thoughts for navigating this time of eating out a lot and the possibility of drinking more than I'm used to? Yes, set your intention ahead of time. Are you okay with going and gaining weight? Are you okay with going and maintaining your weight? Do you want to lose weight while you're gone? Make that decision first, then build your weekend plan based on that decision. Okay? You might go into it saying, I'm just going to make my best choice all weekend and eat to my two, and that's fine. You might go into it and say, every time we go out, I'm going to eat a salad, and that's fine too. You might go into it and say, I'm not going to drink this weekend because weight loss is important to me. Or you might go into it and say, I'm going to allow all the drinks. Just know what the result you want to create first is and build your plan for the weekend based on that. What's the easiest way to keep your mind and body, to help your mind and body understand that it doesn't need as much as it did? It's hard for me to come to terms with eating less than I did. I know I need to, but it makes me sad. It's very, very normal. Okay. We tend to not realize that our stomachs are like about the size of your fist. And if you think about, you know, being at plus two, when you have about that amount of food, it's weird because we're used to eating so much more than that. So, I think for you, this is anonymous. I think what I would do is I would post in the Facebook group and ask the girls in the tribe, what do you tell yourself when you figure this out? We coach on it so often. It's so normal because your brain is kind of going, are you sure? Are you sure you've had enough to eat? Because, you know, we're leaving all this food behind that we used to eat. You know, it takes a little bit of time for your brain to catch up with what you're actually feeling in your body. So just understand that it's normal and that, you know, you might want to have a thought to practice that says, this is important to me. You know, leaving this food behind is important to me because I really want to lose weight. All right. Katie is back. So let's do you really quick. And then we'll be done. We'll get out of here. I'm calling you up now, Katie.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Quiet, reliable place.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What you got?
It's my first coaching call, so thank you for taking You're me welcome. At the end. Uh-huh. I am a September baby. I'm actually Hope's accountability partner. Yeah. So I think both of us, we both started in September. I have only lost about 8 pounds since joining and I've been feeling a bit frustrated with the scale not going down, and I'm trying to think about all the things I am doing correctly, what I can be consistent about. But I just am getting, every time I do my Hello scale and it's still, you know, 250, 251, I'm just getting really frustrated and I feel like I'm not doing something correctly. And I think, I just feel like there should be progress instead of no progress at all. 'Cause I am still doing, my data was up, you know, this month, like 13%. So I still feel like,
tell me about the data. Let's write this down. Let's see it.
All right. So last month, my overall data, I think, was 76%. And this month, it was 90%. The two areas are obviously -2 to 2 and following plans.
All right. So tell me what, do you have your habit tracker there with you?
Yeah. Let me get started.
First 8 days in February.
Yes.
So we're going to do February 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the following plan. How many days?
All right. For February, I followed plan out of 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
I followed it 6.
Okay. And eating 2 to 2.
I followed it 5.
And water?
8.
Sleep.
8.
Anything else you want to? I'm guessing you made a plan.
Yes.
Right, all 8 days. What else is on the habit tracker? Self-development exercise I'm not worried about.
Assessed.
That's pretty assessed. You assessed all 8 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is 75%. Right?
Yep.
And 5 out of 8 is what?
Ooh.
A bit less than that. Here, I got it. 5 divided by 8 equals 62%.
Okay.
So these two things for you equal maintenance. Actually, they do for all of us. Okay. So if these are consistent, and it sounds like based on what you, what did you say January looked like?
Not good.
For these
70. Oh, those two. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know those two off the top of my head, but of course they were lowest, of course, but
yeah.
I think overall was like 67%.
Okay. So those are the two areas that you need to level up just a little bit. So if you had to guess on the hunger scale side, which is the harder one for you, the -2 or the +2?
I think the harder one is the +2, but I've really been working on my -2.
Okay.
Like the past couple of weeks, I've really been focusing on that one.
Okay. And that's great. You know, Corinne did a weekend motivator or something not too long ago where she said, pick a side and work on it.
Yep.
That's great. So while you're working on your -2, start leaving 2 or 3 bites behind.
Okay.
At the end of your meal. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you smiling?
It's hard.
Why is that hard?
Because I find it, it's harder for me to leave bites behind and easier for me to take away from the beginning. So like I've noticed that I've been doing that. So trying to really fine tune where I'm at with my scale, I get rid of some of it just to try to see if like the portion is smaller and it gets me to a 2, but it's easier for me to take it away to begin with rather than leave bites behind.
Yeah. And that way you never learn how to leave bites behind.
I know. You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a super important skill when it comes to eating. If you want to be, let's say, 160 pounds one day, yep. Think about all the times you go to a restaurant, you're going to have to leave bites behind. You're going to have to practice that now. And if you can do it, you know, while you're working on your minus two, eating when you're minus two, you just leave those couple of bites behind. Think about it. Let's say it's 2 times 3 meals a day is 6 times 7 meals is 42 bites. That's probably a couple of meals.
Yep.
You're crazy, right?
Yeah, when you put it like that.
Yeah. Crazy. And then for this following plan, are you planning realistically? Or yep. You are? So what yep. Are they, why are you not following them? What's going on there?
The 2 days that I didn't, I had brought leftovers and I was going to have my leftover prep that I made, but instead my boss asked me to go to lunch and I ordered off the Skinnylicious menu at Cheesecake, which I felt proud of myself mm-hmm. for that, mm-hmm. but I had bread for an appetizer. So I still did a worksheet on it because yeah. It technically wasn't off plan. And then the next day I overate at dinner.
Okay. So, you know, so we addressed the overeat with the plus two. I would just, doing the discovery worksheet, making a plan for the next time is exactly what I do. Okay. I think you're on the right track. I think, honestly, and I would swear by this, if you can nail the hunger scale, you'll lose weight.
I know. It just feels like I have to do it 100% of the time to get, like.
Well, you're not even at 2/3.
Okay. Yeah.
That's true. bring this up to 75 or 80%, you'll probably see a difference.
Okay.
And I want to tell you, I am not perfect at the hunger scale. The hunger scale to me is it's the one that I have to work on the most. Okay. Agreed. I'll even tell you, I have mine right here. I'll tell you what my hunger scale was last month, just for fun. I got to find it. 74% was mine last month. And that's maintenance for me. 62% for you.
Right.
Right.
And you didn't gain any weight.
Mm-mm. But I didn't lose any either. I'd like to take off 5 or 6 pounds.
One more thing. Is there another way that I could feel when I don't see the scale move for a few weeks at a time, I start getting frustrated and I keep going because I'm going to just do it, you know, but I still feel like it's my, what other, I guess, motivation can I have? Or I just feel like that's the only validation that I'm doing something. I am getting to, you know, my 100% on my negative two data.
What's the thought? Why are you frustrated?
I'm not losing weight fast enough.
It's not moving fast enough. I'm not losing fast enough. All right. So when you say I'm not losing fast enough and I'm frustrated, do you just jump in there and go, I'm going to eat to my plus two today? Or do you go, boo?
I do go boo, but I also go for a walk and I also try to do something like offensively to negate that.
But you're not doing it offensively if you're thinking this thought. Right. You have another thought.
I'm reacting. Okay.
Okay. What you're doing here is you're complaining. Right?
Yeah. Judging.
Stupid body. This should work. Right? Which leads to no solution.
Yeah, or inconsistent with my hunger scale or eating off.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So this thought here.
Yeah.
This is the kryptonite. I'm not losing fast enough. What if your thought was, my weight loss is reflective in my habit tracker?
That's deep. I like it.
It's more like acceptance, right?
You're throwing some realness at me, Kathy.
I am. I'm doing it in such a nice way, though. Thank you. Does that help?
Yes, a lot. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. That's it for today. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. Coming up this week, what do we have coming up this week? We have Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Central. Corinne is doing another discovery worksheet lab. Those are amazing, amazing calls. So bring your discovery worksheet. She'll help you work through overeating thoughts. And she'll tell you why the discovery worksheet, again, is so important. It's like one of these super tools for losing weight. Then on Wednesday, we have office hours. Betsy is on the schedule. I think I'm going to have to cover for her. She has somewhere else she needs to be. She's had a, I think she has a funeral to go to. And then next Sunday, we have the bonanza of calls. Corinne is back for the noon call. And then the Queen's Club call will be at 4 p.m. on Sunday the 16th. Okay. All right, you guys, have a great rest of the day, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.